This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day. Today, we have David Hogan from Freedom Ministries. Today, I want to share with you a faith-building testimony of what God is doing in the world today. Not what the news says. Today, our guest teacher via recording is David Hogan, and he's sharing his experience. It is a faith-invigorating, faith-inspiring message. It will change your life today. So what God has done in this ministry of David Hogan, it will change your life. Here he is, David Hogan of Freedom Ministry.
What I do works. Okay, because I'm an eighth generation preacher's son. I wore out my church going card before I ever got married. And then God comes out. I got so angry with the church. The church is so full of hypocrites. It's so pitiful. And so I got so angry and I left. So I was this kid, right? And got blasted. I was in the gangs and I was so mad and all that stuff. And I was right to be. Being a hypocrite's an awful thing if that's you. You just are awful. So you're going to repent tonight. Tonight is your time. And you're going to get your heart sorted out and you're going to be on fire and win souls. That's how it's going to go. All right. And so it almost cost me. Jesus came to me audibly and spoke to me. It was either him or his dad. I'm not sure which one. Because whenever he spoke, all the air had him in it. I was trying to find out which direction it was coming from. It was coming from everywhere. Okay. And he said these words to me, "You must be born again." And I just absolutely told him, "I will not. I won't." And he ignored me again and spoke it again the second time. Oh, it's frustrating when people don't listen to you. You know what your problem is? Jesus loves me. I'm honest with him. I believe he knows our thoughts. So you may as well be honest. That's what I believe. So I am. And so he didn't listen. So the third time, I was so frustrated. He'd keep it on talking. Because he never talks. God never talks. And then all of a sudden he says stuff and he won't hush. And so, I said to him, okay, listen. If you are God, you're going to have to do something for me. You're going to have to show me one of your followers, one. I told God, you show me one person that's doing what Jesus did, and I will bow. And it was like almost instantaneously, he goes, "I'm going to make you that guy." And it shocked me because I'm a good hand. I'm a good hand. But I don't know how even to go about being like Jesus. Because I thought he had some kind of extra card in his deck from being the Son of God, right? And so I told God, I said, okay. I accept. And so I got out of that. I was in a jet. So I unbuckled that thing that holds you down where you can't hardly breathe, moved it, went out there, got an aisle, knelt down on my knees, lifted my hands up, and led myself to Jesus on the jet in front of everybody. I mean, God's there, so what does anybody else matter? So I landed in Anchorage, Alaska, called my wife on the phone. My wife's this young mother. She's pregnant with a second child, and she goes, "Did you make it?" I said, "Yeah, I made it, but something happened to me on the jet." Because I was this oil field, I was a gang member. I was drinking on the plane when Jesus interrupted my drinks. And I said, "I got born again." She literally dropped the phone and fell on the ground. Exactly how it went. It's pretty nice that I can impress my wife so much. And so then it's been a mess. Okay, so I've been walking toward heaven ever since. So a few months later, I want to say about 14, I was getting ready to go to work one morning, and I do in our home what we did in my mom and dad's, which they always got us up, you know, around 5 o'clock every day of my life. And 5:30, we was due in there so they could worship God, me and my brothers and sisters. Okay. And so I'm in there. It's early. I got to go. And this word came in my mind. It's just a word, Mexico. Well, I don't know more what a Mexico is than you do. I do think Mexico's a country. I do know that, but I have no idea past that. And so we had to go to the library because in those days you didn't carry the whole world's information right here. You had to go to the library and study. So I did. And then later on, it came back, the same word, Mexico. So I told my wife, "What are we going to do? What does that mean?" She says, "I don't know. Your family's the one been saved forever. I'm the first Christian in our family." I said, "Well, hi. I guess we better ask God to do something. He's the one that doing all this stuff." So I said, "All right, God, look. If you want me in Mexico, you need to sort it out. Because I don't even know how." Well, I'm telling you, it wasn't even a month later, there's this phone call. This guy says, "Hey, I'm a missionary from Mexico." I said, "Okay, fine. And so what are you doing in Mexico?" He said, "Well, that's what I was led to where I was led to go." I said, "All right, what do you want with me?" I said, "I don't know you. You need help? What do you need?" He said, "I do actually need help." I said, "All right, how can I help you?" He said, "I heard you got a little church in the cotton field over there." I said, "I do." He said, "Okay, so I want to come by and look you in the eye." I said, "That's fair enough." So he comes to our church, and I mean, it was overrun with people. There were so many people. We wasn't used to it. We got a little bitty church in a cotton field. And so, there's all these people from everywhere came. So he came there and he said, "Where I'm from, there's thousands of villages and no one is saved. But you know, you don't know me, but you're going to find out who I am." So I stood straight up and I said, "Hold on here now." This is in front of lots of hundreds of people. I said, hold on. "You're telling me there's a place on this planet where there's hundreds of villages, that's a large amount of land, and there's no Christians? Because where I'm from, there's like every half block, there's a different flavor." And so I said, "Okay." I said, "I don't believe that." You know what he said to me? He didn't get frustrated with me. He said, "Won't you come see, son?" I said, "All right." I said, "Load the wagon, Jack. I'll be there." So we sorted out a time and a date, right? I went down there, y'all, and I have never come back. Okay, so this is how I want to start with you. This right here. There in Acts chapter 19, 11 and 12, it says, God did extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. And he took materials and he touched his skin with it. And what happens is the anointing of the Father gets on the material. Now this thing is now a weapon. It's not a handkerchief anymore. It's a weapon. And hell is afraid of it. Y'all don't even know about it yet. I'm going to help you with that, though. So, it says that these things, cloths, was taken from his skin and laid on the sick, and they were healed, and demons came out of people. So I can verify to you that even dead people have been raised by a cloth being put on. I can verify that for you. All right, and so that's what this is. If you want to, that we're getting with such a simple act of faith. Now, I want to tell you why this is happening. I was in the United States, and they're similar to y'all. They feel like they have everything sorted out. And you can't hardly teach them stuff. So I was into this here, right? And I was talking to him. Well, this big farmer comes up. And me, I'm a farmer myself, so I'm not too worried about how big the fella is. He comes up there. He's a big farmer. He come up there pushing a wheelchair. And he said to me, my daughter is dying. I don't know. It was one of them multiple sclerosis or cerebral palsy. It's one of them things that twists you all up. And so she's been twisted up her whole life, right? And so I said, okay, look, we're going to pray for her right now. And in Jesus' name, she's going to be healed. So what I'm going to do, and I just took my handkerchief out of my back pocket and I tied it on the little girl's arm over here, this one, the left one. And the hog farmer says, is that all I got to do? I said, that's it, son. You can go on back. How far did you drive? He said, I drove 5 hours one way for you to put your handkerchief on my daughter. I said, deal. Now you go on back. So he's left. All right. Now, we getting somewhere. Okay, so... I really like my job, and that's going to be annoying for you because I know I'm right, and I know this stuff works, and so I'm not going to listen to any of your foolish religious spirits. Jesus is king. This stuff works. His Bible works. That's just all I got to say about the whole deal. Holy Ghost. Well, that's the last I heard of the pig farmer, right? Well, here last year, I get this email. It's this woman. I don't know her. My wife asked me, who's the woman? I said, I don't know her, Mom. She said, well, it looks personal. I said, I'm sorry to you. It looks personal. I do not know this lady. And the lady says, you know, I'm so grateful for knowing you, Brother David. So my wife goes, how do you not know her if she knows you? Okay, let's sort this out. I pray for what? 1 million people a year or more? How can I remember who every one of them are? So, yeah. So she says, she kept reading and she goes, yep, you know her. I said, look, woman, I already told you I don't know that lady. So she said, she named the name of the place. And I remembered that we was up there, Michigan, up there by Canada. And so, oh, it fell on the floor. So we'll get it for you. So I'm supposed to act like it didn't happen, right? But it did. It happened. Okay, so so my wife keeps reading, right? She reads to me about the pig farmer. I go, uh-oh. I might know that lady. You know what happened? It's so beautiful. It's the handkerchief thing and, oh, a guitar. It's nice. Looks nice. So, Holy Ghost. So, it's the pig farmer's daughter, the one that was all shriveled up in the chair. It turns out that 5 days after the prayer, her wearing the bandana for 5 days, there's this being that I guess I run around with him. I don't think he runs around with me. I think I'm got it. He takes me places so he can go places. And he's called the glowing man. I don't know anything else to call him because he's weird and he does weird stuff. This crippled girl is laying in her room and the glowing man, he don't use the door. He comes through the roof almost always. And he come there and he's standing beside her and he's looking at her and he just walked over and touched her and she just unfolded. And he leaves. So I need you to say this. Glowing man, I need you too. See, there you go. See how simple it is? And so the family hears the noise and they go and find the girl healed. This is awesome. So here we are lots of years later and I get this email and it is the daughter and now she's done been married and had all these kids. And she said, I'm sorry that I didn't get to you quicker. And she's not in the chair now, but she's totally healed. She's got her own life, her own kids and they want more of Jesus. Isn't that awesome, y'all? Genesis chapter 1. It's not complicated, but it's real. See, because God said something in the very beginning, and he never retracted it. Now, let's jump down here to verse 3. What does it say here? It says, who said? Let there be. He never stopped the creation command. That's why what I do works, because it's active. The word of God is powerful. It's active. That's who Jesus is. All right. Holy Ghost. Okay, so verse 6, what does it say? God said. Who did?
God.
Who did?
God.
What did he say? Let there be stuff. All right. Let's jump on down here. Keep on going. This is just the first chapter. Verse 14. What does it say? Who said?
God.
Say it again.
God.
Say, let there be stuff. So the day you got born again, and you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Do you realize that moment God's word became available like his voice for you? Hear me? You know who you are now. You are God's voice. You can right now go raise the dead. I tell them from the first breath after they said Jesus is Lord, you can now raise the dead. And everybody wonders how we get so many dead raises. It's because I look at these people and they believe me. I need you to believe the word of God. It says, God said, come on, it's coming. I want to be on the job when it arrives. Challenge them. Okay, so this is my first school with leprosy. And we come to this place. It's called a charco. It's a refuge where the sewage and rain water comes. And that's where these beggars live. There's a whole bunch of them. And she walks up on this house. It ain't a house. I might park my lawnmower in there, maybe. And she goes, "The leper's in here." I said, "Well, I guess I do owe you a thank you. But I am begrudgingly telling you that because you need a bath." And out walks another one, just like her. And I go, "No, this is not awesome. I don't want this. I want the women that are beautiful in the linen and they smell good. Marble floors, angels everywhere. That's what I want." No. That's not what I got. I got the beggars and the lepers. And so I said, "Okay. All right. So God sent me here." And she said, "Who?" Okay. "His name is Jesus." She said, "Never heard of him. That's why I have a job." And she goes, "Where is he?" "Okay, it's complicated. Nope, you can't come in." So I'm arguing with this beggar stink person. And all of a sudden there's a voice behind her says, "Who is it?" "Oh, it's some gringo, some white guy. And he says there's somebody with him that I can't see. And he says he can heal you. He said, we've tried everything." They used to be a little bit wealthy and they spent all the money. There ain't no cure for leprosy, not by medicine and science. Okay. I said, "Ma'am, you're not interested in my cry story because your cry story trumps my cry story. But I really need to pray for that man." She said, "It ain't happening." He said, "Let him in." So I go in there and y'all, the smell of the rotten flesh and the, oh gosh. So he said, "Who is this guy?" I said, "His name is Jesus." I said, "My name is David and I've been sent here. I'm a messenger for this king." He said, "How did the king hear about me?" I said, Look. "Can I just worry about getting you healed first? And then I'll try to explain to you about this king." He said, "Okay." So I pick up the banana leaves. And when I did, instantly I started vomiting. The grossest mess, double the size, pus and blood and flesh and muscle rotten. And oh my goodness. I had never been that close to leprosy. Okay, so this is my first school with leprosy. All right. And so I said, "Can I read you some verses?" So I picked up my Bible and I read about the 10 lepers, right? I said, "These 10 lepers, Jesus walked up to them." He said, "This Jesus, is that the guy that you work for?" I said, "Yeah, that's him. That's him." He said, "So he's in that book." I said, "Yeah, he's in this book. Okay, look, let's hold the questions. I don't know how to do this. You're my first one. But I done walked up here and all these people, guns and handcuffs, I'm getting put out with y'all. But I want you to let me heal you." He said, "It's impossible." I said, "Dude, I knew that before I left. I actually went to school. I know that." He said, "Well, what is wrong with you?" I said, "What's wrong with me is the creator God that created this planet and you spoke to me in an audible voice and sent me down here to find you. Now, are you going to let me or not? I'm going home if you don't want this." He said, "Of course I want it. But we got to talk." I said, So I stuck my hand in and lost my hand up to here. And I mean, I'm vomiting, I'm dry heaving, I'm carrying on like a boy. Okay, so boy. So, okay. So afterwards, got all cleaned up and everything. So I'm reading him the Bible, and now all them stinking women are in there. It's more of them. And boy, it stinks so bad. Oh, it's horrible. Okay, so I said, now here's what's going to happen. Because you let me touch you, I'm what's called a son of God. And because you allowed me to touch you, the anointing of my God is coming on you, and leprosy is going to leave you. That's how it's going to happen. And so I made like four trips, up and down, over some time. I'm not going to go through all that. Don't want to. It's too long. And so one evening I go up, I get up there finally, and he's not there. So my mind tells me he died. And I asked his wife, I said, so where is he? She said, just have a seat on a rock. So I'm sitting there on the rock waiting 1 hour, 2 hours, two and a half. All of a sudden he walks up. This guy walks up, the leper, with a hoe, an axe, and a machete, and he just come walking up to me like this. And I'm just, hold on a minute. How are you doing that? He threw his junk down on the ground, rolled his pant leg up and said, there was this being came through the roof. I said, what? I said, what did he look like? He said, well, he was glowing. I said, teach me about him. Isn't that something? The glowing being was there the whole time. And all he did, he didn't say nothing to the guy. All he did was walk over and touched him. And within 3 days, the thing dried up and was gone. Yeah. Okay. Look at me, son. This is what God wants to do. He wants to do that right there. You hear me? And the problem is, I'm right. That is a problem. Y'all, I had no idea, but his wife, the one I was fussing at because she was so nasty, over time, they got over it. They got a crop in. They got a little money, and she got some soap, and she got cleaned up. And my wife gave her all her clothes just about. And everybody up there, when I look at them, they all got my wife's clothes on. And all the little kids has got my little kids' clothes on. Because my wife cleaned our house out, and we don't have nothing, and she gave that thing away. I was the one toting it up the hill. Say it's worth it. Say it. Yeah. And so they all got saved. What happened was I didn't know that the lady was born with a hole in her heart. She died. And the guy that was the leper didn't know how to do what I did. The little I knew how to do, he didn't know how to do. So he took the book, the Bible that I gave him, and laid it on his dead wife, and she came back. And then I'm going by one day up in the mountains. We had to go pray for a girl way away, further than him. And he goes, I need you, David, right now. And I go with him, you know, and he's the not leper now. And he's running and I can't stay up with him. Okay, and I get into his house, and now his son's laying there dead. He had an epileptic fit, swallowed his tongue and died. I said, dude, y'all are forever in trouble. Goodness. So I just ran over there. I'm sweating from what I do, and I climb up on top of this kid, and I, you know, and I breathe. All right, see you later. And I leave, and he'd been dead like 10 hours. He coughed up his tongue and got healed. All right. So I need you to understand that's what is wrong with me. Isn't that something? What a life. Your Bible says, as you go, you preach. You preach the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Because you got it free, give it away free.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my song.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.